Welcome along to the 1, 2, 3 third podcast released by the From the Horse's Mouth, when you count Fridays with Fran as well, over the DRF weekend. And we are looking ahead, me, Patrick Connelly, Rory DeLargy and Frank Hickey coming in for Ruby Walsh to look ahead to a super Sunday of racing at Leopardstown. We're nearly there, folks. Rory, when we're looking at Saturday and Sunday racing, it's a fair chunk of racing to go through, isn't it? It's great, though.
It is, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot there, and, you know, not just Leopardstown, which is all of tremendous interest, but a bit of Musselburgh.
Oh, I didn't ask you to look at the ITV stuff at Musselburgh,
but now
I'm going to ask what you've unearthed on the ITV stuff.
Oh, well, I'm not saying I've unearthed anything mind-boggling, but it's interesting enough. It's, you know, it's Musselburgh's big day of the jumps here. Scottish champion hurdle.
And a Scottish
champion chase.
And is the Scottish Triumph hurdle.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should have a Scottish Gold Cup, shouldn't they?
It's the only one they're missing. Scottish Fox Hunters? No, we don't call the Fox Hunters anymore. Frank, how are you? Busy weekend in the trading room, obviously.
It's a very busy week so far. Yeah. Fairly tired already, and it's only 4 a.m.
Are you working for the weekend?
I actually have a wedding tomorrow, would you believe?
Who is sack this friend?
It's
or family.
It's Jill's first cousin. And now, to be fair, it's my own wedding anniversary as well tomorrow. But to be fair, we got married the year before the Dublin Racing Festival started.
You knew, as the man says. And is this the type of wedding where you can get the phone out and just keep
luckily enough, because all family are going to the wedding, there's no one really to my knowledge, so one of Jill's friends is going to come up and mind them. So I'm going to skip the wedding and kind of ease them into, you know, meeting the friend / watch the racing. And then Jill said we'd be leaving about 3:30, so I'd probably be able to catch the last race or two on my phone.
That's unreal. You're missing the ceremony. You're just going for the afters then, essentially.
More or less, yeah.
I mean, that's an absolute result. I mean, who really wants to go to the ceremony? It's just seen it all before, lads.
To be honest, I've been in the church a long time. There's a fair chance I'll combust when I go in there.
It's a church wedding. Oh, well, that's an even double result for you there. That's well done. Right. Okay. Happy days. So you're going to watch that with Oliver. Oliver getting a good education, as we expect at this stage. Now, this is usually the point where producer Mark tells me to tell you loads of things. Producer Mark isn't here today. So check paddypower.com for loads of goodies. Will that do? Oh, Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. That's very good as well.
Yeah,
it is very good. We will be back tomorrow. Well, we're recording this on Friday, but the day after DRF on Sunday, we'll be back recording for Cheltenham Countdown. And we'll be looking back at DRF and looking forward, obviously, to Cheltenham. Really looking forward to that. That'll be out on Tuesday. So keep an eye out for the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Producer Mark is filming today with Ruby Walsh and Rich Ritchie. Should be interesting. Really looking forward to that. That's going to be on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. He's making a few appearances, Rich Ritchie, again, isn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely come out of hibernation, hasn't he?
What do we make of the ponytail?
I was just about to say, I hope he's got a haircut.
No, I did chide Joe Chambers, his racing manager, about the hair a while ago. He goes, the more people mention it, the more he loves it. So it's not going to change. Or if it's going to change, it's going to change. What would really wind people up? Yeah. I think a top knot's out of the question, isn't it?
Oh, but, God. It's genuinely horrible. It's awful. I mean, I'd say to his face, I have no problem, but it is. But fair play to him. He seems to want to keep it just for a joke, by the looks of things or the sounds.
I like that attitude, though. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely. Screw you. I'm hanging out.
I used to wear like pink t-shirts and jumpers when I was younger, and the more abuse I got, the more I'd wear it. You know, it's drive the lads mad.
Well, ahead of your time. It's all about the pink shirts now. We have a lot of racing to cover, so let's get stuck into it. Leopardstown's a brilliant card on Sunday. We've got all the prices in front. We're recording, by the way, on Friday afternoon. It's just gone Friday afternoon. By the way, Cheltenham non-runner money back is now available as well. For all of the, what were anti-post races, it's now non-runner money back. By the time you're listening to this, we went live with that at 12 on Friday. Got the date right this time. We've got races, so by the time you listen to this, it could be Saturday evening and it could be a load of price changes, hopefully, because of the selections from Rory and Frank. Let's kick off with the 10 past one. It's a wide open handicap hurdle. Or is it? Liberty Dance 2-1 favourite for Gordon Elliott and Davy Russell. Risk Bell for William Mullins, very likely race juvenile 4-1. It's 7-1 for Inattendu for Tony Martin and Liam McKenna, who of course has bagged a big handicap hurdle for Tony Martin before. Guaycule, who Fran Berry gave a mention to on Friday, is 7-1. It's 9-1 Ballybon Belter, and the rest are double figure odds. On your return to the pod, Frank Hickey, off you go.
Yeah, look, you can see why Liberty Dance is fancy. Look, she just touched off in the Grade 2 bumper here last year, and she's won her last two over hurdles, including a listed race at Turles. But I'm going to take a chance on one at a price. It's the third from last year, Bantown Girl. Gets to run off the same mark of 115. Danny Mullins back up. There was a lot to like about the way she ran last year. Look, she's very lightly raced for an eight-year-old as well. She's won a bumper, hasn't won a four starts over hurdles or two starts over fences, but she hasn't had that many goals over hurdles. I think that was she hasn't run over hurdles since finishing third last year of 115. And in front of that was Party Central, who was seventh in the Mayor's Novice at Cheltenham and won a listed hurdle at Punchstone afterwards, now rated £21 higher. And Say Goodbye, who was pulled up in a Grade 1 on her next start, but won both starts over fences since. So probably a decent enough renewal. And look, there are unexposed ones in here. But I just think she's slightly underestimated. She was fourth over fences behind Gold Cup Bailey in Wexford, beaten 7.5 lengths in heavy ground. Second to Jodie Ted of Clonmel over 2 miles on heavy, reversing form with the Folks Tiara there. The third, Whiskey Welt. Has won well since to frank that form a little bit. Just think back over hurdles in the same mark and better grounds really going to suit her. Danny Mullins up again. First time cheek pieces. She's an each way price. There'll be extra places. Bantown Girl should hit the frame anyway, I think.
As she did last year. Bantown Girl number 12 on the card. Number 12 on the card, yeah. Rory.
Yeah, no each way betting for me here because my selection could be anything, and that includes not being very good at all. Historic Reconce is a really interesting one. She's only had the one run for Willie Mullins. She is a very unusual purchase from France, given her form. Her best effort in a number of runs over hurdles in France was when she finished last at Vichy in May 2021. That is by far her best effort. The rest of her form makes her look almost completely useless. But she won a maiden hurdle at Tramore on debut for Willie Mullins. And again, you might ask why Willie would want to buy a horse like this. But she is a half-sister to Jacqueline Pourceau. And I can see the logic there that Willie would be quite keen to get a hold of her. And she'd be a potentially interesting broodmare despite her moderate form on the track. But she did bolt up in a maiden hurdle at Tramore, a bad maiden hurdle, it has to be said. But she did win that with her head and her chest. There's not many form lines you can take through that. Plenty of those behind her have run since. The fourth was a winner next time out, and you can argue that makes the form look a lot better. But similarly, plenty of those in behind her have proven themselves to be very ordinary performers. And a mark of 116 isn't particularly generous on the bare bones of what she did at Tramore. But she went very wide that day. I don't think going wide would be a particular benefit at Tramore on good ground. She avoided any traffic, obviously, but she was held up behind horses and she had to do plenty of running to get there. And she did it on the bridle. She was never off the bridle at any stage. Clearly much improved on her French form. And she might be a lot better than she looked. Emmanuel Clavio had her. He's a very good trainer, but he would be better known for his exploits with his chasers and his cross-country horses. And it may well be that she simply was too young and inexperienced to show much. She was unwanted in the betting for all her starts. She was tried in cheek pieces and in blinkers, also tongue-tied, but went without any accoutrements at all on much quicker ground on that debut for Willie and won well. So she might be all right. She might just be very, very ordinary, and I wouldn't want to be backing her each way in a competitive race like this, but she could make a mockery of her mark as well and show that she's got plenty of that talent that her half-brother has.
very interesting horse. Historique Rancance, number 13 on the card, 14-1 as we record, but win only for Rory, and number 15, I should say, was the selection for Frank. Already making mistakes, Frank, already. We'll move on to the 140. This is the first of the graded action. It is the Novice Chase over 2 miles, 5 furlongs. Do you know what this one used to be called, Rory?
This is the registered as the Scalp Novice's Chase.
The Scalp, yeah. Any idea what that's in reference to? The horse, or is it actually the...
Well, there was the big... before the Irish Champion Hurdle existed, the Scalp Hurdle was one of the big... the big hurdle races, pre-Cheltenham races of the season. So the name has just been transferred to the Chase.
Okay. But it wasn't a horse, was it? It wasn't like a famous horse.
I'm sure I've researched this in the past, but... Yeah. I'll do it while we're on the...
Okay. Used to be known as the Dr. PJ Moriarty as well. 140, it's 2 miles, 5 furlongs. We're going to see lots of clues for Cheltenham, but this race needs winning. And Mighty Potter is the 11-10 favourite. Gaillard de Menil, 5-2, one of the most experienced novices ever. James de Burley, 11-4. You've got Kilcrut in there at 14-1. 33 is adamantly chosen, and I am Maximus at 40-1. So Willie Mullins, it's fair to say Frank holds the key to this race, or does he?
Well, it's... Willie against Mighty Potter. Mighty Potter deserves to be favourite. He's definitely achieved the most over fences. Look, he's Grade One winner, dual Grade One winner over hurdles, and I thought he was very good in the Drinmore. To be fair, his jumping was good in the main. I think he pecked maybe on landing twice, but other than that, he jumped really nicely. I'm not a fan of Gaillard de Menil. I have never been. I know people are kind of saying, oh, that was a really strong Brown Advisory last year. He'd have a massive chance this year. But, he's run well in Irish Ashland, finishing third off a high enough mark. He's still beaten. And I know he won a Grade One the last day, but there wasn't much winning in it either. And he made hard work of it. I'd be definitely wanting to take him on, particularly back at this trip. I do think it's interesting that Paul Townend rides him over James de Burley, but I'm going to take a chance on James de Burley. I think he's got a load of ability. Look, in France, he was a Grade 3 winner. Twice was touched off narrowly in Grade 1s. They threw him into the Champion Hurdle's first start for Willie. Found that happening all too quick for him, really. But he ran a cracker at Punchestown, stepped up to 3 miles when second to Classical Dream, beating 9 lengths. Missed all of last season. Look, he hadn't much to beat maybe on his Chase debut, but he jumped nicely. He won very easily. I think he's got huge ability. I just think there's far more potential in him than there is Gaillard de Menil. And I think Mighty Potter is the one to beat, but just you can't get away from Willie Mullins at this festival. And just for me, James de Burley is the most interesting runner in the race, and I'm going to take a chance on him.
James de Burley for Frank. This, by the way, if you pop into a Paddy Power shop, is a money back or loser race if you use your play card. Rory, your thoughts?
Largely similar to Frank, to be honest. I sort of want to be against Mighty Potter, but he is a deserving favourite on the back of the Dream War. We talked about the Dream War and how it doesn't throw up the future winners that you would expect. And I wouldn't want the ground to be any quicker than yielding here, but they're throwing plenty of water on it, aren't they? He does handle soft ground very well, Mighty Potter. If it was on the quick side, that would be a slight concern for him. But he's got a bit in hand of his rivals here. I wouldn't be mad to be backing him for Cheltenham. But he's looked good over fences thus far. I think his rating slightly flatters him, but his rating has him, you know, according to time form, about 4 points clear of Gaillard de Menil. But again, as Frank says, Gaillard de Menil is racing over the wrong trip here. He was second, of course, to Mighty Potter. In the Drinmore, but he stays 3 mile five. So this is on the short side for him. He wouldn't be the one you want to be backing if you're opposing the favourite, because he'll do it slowly here. I think it'll take him a while to hit top gear, and he might be finishing well, but too late. So that makes it a slightly tricky race to get involved in. And I ended up coming to the same conclusion that James de Burley has got a fair bit of upside about him. He'll be very happy on yielding ground. I would have said, you know, you can ignore his first run for Willie, which came in the Champion Hurdle. Aside from that, his form is very good. And it wasn't always a very deep ground in France. And he was a very good second in the Champion Stairs Hurdle. second time for Willie before that long absence. And I'm not sure the heavy ground would have been a massive help to him on chase debut, but he did that very nicely. And it's difficult to know what his ceiling might be. So although he's got a bit to find in the ratings, he's only had the one chase start. You'd expect them all to come forward for that. And I thought he might be the value in the race, but it wasn't one I wanted to go mad about. But at least we are in agreement.
You are indeed. James du Burlet to do the business. Frank, a little bit more keen than Rory by the sounds of things. On to the Dublin Chase. This race is the 210. It's the grade one, open grade one over 2 miles and a furlong. And it's Blue Lords to win. 1-4 as we record in the dull green for Simon Eyre and Isaac Suede. Gentleman to Me, also for Willie, is 13-2. Then you've got Sco Royale. Of course, they've got a strong representative in the favourite as well. The Connections, that's 10-1 or so Royale. Dunvegan is 14. It's 25-1 faster, slow. Is there a betting angle into this race, Rory?
Just shovel onto Blue Lord. Might be it's yes, it's very, very hard to be against him. If you're against him, essentially you're looking at Soul Royal, and he's a horse who's, you know, he's 11 years old now and tends to have his limitations exposed after his first couple of starts every season. But you know, he's had a break since disappointing in the Desert Orchid. I'd rather he hadn't run there. He doesn't really want soft ground. And Alan King has criticised himself before for running the horse 3 or 4 times in quick succession when he's a horse who's best reasonably fresh. If he hadn't run at Christmas, I'd fancy his chances more here. And he could do without them putting more water on the track as well. But he's already got something defined on form with Blue Lord, who runs the same colours, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to make a strong case that he should really put it up to the favourite. The ground's not going to be soft enough for Dunvegan, who, you know, was second in this last year, albeit a fairly distant one. And it's hard to make a case for Faster Slow at this level. Gentleman to Me, on his one piece of form last season, he's got a decent chance when beating Edwardstone easily at the entry, but he hasn't gone on from that. He's been disappointing this season. So there doesn't seem to be any solid angle even behind the favourite. So really just a case of enjoying Blue Lord here, I think.
Pass from Roy Gillard. That's fine. That's understandable. Frank?
I love Blue Lord will win. Really, won't he? Gentleman Demise's been desperately disappointing. With no real obvious excuse in 3 starts this year. I think the market is like the price has just gone up, so the extra markets won't be priced yet. But just looking at the win prices, I'd probably, if I was having a bet here, take a chance on Soul Royale without Blue Lord. I'd probably have him second in, just the way Gentleman Demise has been running this season. Now, he could bounce back and you wouldn't be absolutely shocked if he did, but just on what he's done this year, there was no real life in any of the runs. And as Rory said, Dunvegan probably wants it more testing and faster slow. You imagine his, just tipping away before going for a handicap at Cheltenham again. So, Soul Royale for me should probably be favoured, provided the ground is not too bad in the without
market. Yeah, well, it's Leopardstown. It's never that bad.
No. I'd probably back Soul Royale without, particularly if he's not favoured.
Just to those who are listening and might be thinking, forecast versus betting without, why would you be keener on the betting without angle instead of the forecast? Let's assume the forecast is a bigger price.
You could do the forecast as well, but I suppose it just if any accidents happen to Blue Lord, you're still, do you know what I mean? You have two races,
It's a bit like backing no goal scorer in a football game rather than 0-0.
Yeah,
that used to be because own goals don't count, isn't it?
Own goals don't count. So
it used to be half a point bigger, and I think you get a price.
Well, you usually get the same price.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake for a while. You used to get a little bit. Yeah, bigger,
they were just the same price for ages. And although it rarely happened. Why would you not want to take the same price about something that is mathematically more likely? Again, it's unlikely that Blue Lord is going to blow out here. Yeah. But it is mathematically possible, and it does happen occasionally. So you're you know, as long as the odds are reasonably similar, you're better playing the percentages, as Alan Hansen would say.
Oh, there's a blast
and
from the past.
You'll win nothing with kids.
And you absolutely won't. Well, Sol Royal's got a good age, so he's got plenty of experience. He's no kid. So we'll keep an eye out for Sol Royal in the betting without market in the Dublin Chase. Move on to the 240. This is the handicap chase over 2 mile, 5 furlongs. And Indigo Breeze for Gordon Elliott and Sam Ewing, who was operating at Weatherby on Saturday. 130 favourite. Mascada, Fran Berry gave that a shout on Friday. It's 11 to 2. 7 to 1 now, Where or When, for Stuart Crawford. Ciel de Neige, top weight for Willie Mullins at 10 to 1. As is Real Steel, the same price, Faster Du Large, and double figure odds. All right, Rory, we think you had an angle into a couple of handicaps yesterday. You had to work for them. Have you got one into this?
Yeah, I've got. It's not much of an angle. It's backing a horse who's got the form to go close here at a massive price.
Lovely.
And he's not an enormously attractive option because he's a veteran, and he's been beaten at this meeting a couple of times before, but I thought Charlie Stout would hit the frame with extra places available here. And he is your rank outsider at 66 to 1.
Wow.
What's not to like? He's run, he was rated, I think, 136 when last running over fences at this meeting. He ran over hurdles at the meeting last year and got very short of room in the Liffey around the home bend. I actually backed him that day thinking he would run on into a place, but he wanted to be. It got a bit messy there, and it didn't suit him. He's run a few good races. He's never won at Leopardstown, but he was a bit unlucky once in a good opportunity riders race when he was carried out when travelling well. And he has become competitive with the handicapper belatedly giving him a chance. As I said, he was sort of, you know, mid-130s a year ago, and he's been given a real chance here. Handicap has dropped him to 116. Kieran Callaghan has ridden him on his last two starts. He was fourth of 16 over course and distance in the Adair Manor Opportunity Handicap. That's the race he was carried out in two or three years before that when travelling well. He was just given too much to do. He was held up towards the back and he wasn't asked to get after them until very late in the day. He passed beaten horses to finish fourth. He wouldn't have been beaten that. He might not have finished any further up the table, as it were. He might have got third, but he probably still would have been fourth, but a closer fourth. And then he built on that when runner-up at Thurles last time out. And a race I thought was a pretty good contest. The write-up doesn't suggest it was a particularly strong one. But Stumptown won that for Gavin Cromwell. Very well backed. And it'll be interesting to see how Stumptown fares when we next see him. But Charlie Stout was second, beaten 12 lengths, it has to be said. But he was a long way clear of Revel in Pleasure, who's a pretty reliable sort in races like that. I was with Revel in Pleasure each way that day. I thought he ran perfectly well. He ran the race you'd expect him to run. And he was 25 lengths clear off the fifth in a field of 10. I thought that was actually decent form. And although Charlie Stout was beaten 12 lengths, it was confirmation that he was back in form. He will sit out, you know, in the rear of this field and try to pick his way through. The biggest concern for him is the fact that it's a big field and there aren't many opportunities to pass horses here. So he'll need a bit of luck in running. He'll need to get the gaps. But he will be finishing off well. And I thought 66 to 1 was a bit of an insult when you're probably looking at six places in this race, aren't you?
Oh, he's calling for six, Frank. He's calling for six.
Bound to be.
I'd say there will be. Look, they're not confirmed yet, but I would be surprised if there isn't.
Hope so. Fingers crossed. Big shout, Charlie Stout on Sunday. Frank, top that.
No, you're a poet and you don't know it, PK.
Oh, I know it all right.
Yeah, look, wouldn't ever turn anyone off having a flyer and a big price, and he's made a good case. But look, I can see why Indigo Breeze is at the head of the market. Look, he'd look well handicapped off 133 based on the subsequent exploits of the Real Whacker. Personally, I think the Real Whacker is probably a little bit, might be honestly putting it too short for the Brown Advisory Challenge, we put it that way. You know, but at the same time, a mark of 133 probably isn't beyond Indigo Breeze. He's won a bumper and a maiden hurdle. His only handicap start date was 8 in the Carl Cup last March off 140 in the UK. He runs here off, I think, 133, is it?
Bang on, 133.
You can see it. But at the same time, I think there's one in here that's for Gordon as well that's every bit as interesting, and that's Mars Harper. Had three runs over fences in 7 weeks in November and December. Was second to Mighty Potter and Chase debuted down Royal. Was second in a grade two at Punchstone, albeit a weak one, over 2 miles and a furlong behind Midnight River, running on strongly at the finish. That's probably not a great race, but at the same time, the trip would have been against them. And I think the testing ground at Nace probably wasn't ideal last time. In that race, a Journey With Me beat Flame Bear, and they were all finishing legless. He was second here last Christmas, over hurdles, over 2.5 miles behind Good Time Johnny. That was off the mark of 126. Good Time Johnny went and won at this meeting last year off a £9 higher mark, so probably was a decent handicap and a good effort to finish second to him that day. Look, he's running here off 132, but to me he looked like he's been brought along with a handicap in mind, and I see he's 14-1, and I think with the extra places and he has course form over hurdles, I could see him running well. Dennis O'Regan on board, and carrying under 11 stones always a help as well.
Lovely. Two huge each-way picks there, Charlie Stout and Mars Harper. Let's hope we get those each-way extra places. Have a word with your colleagues there, Frank, in the trading room. It's a big weekend. Come on. Come on. If I log on now and I see five places in that race, I'll be very disappointed. Very disappointed. We'll have words on Monday. The big race of the day, arguably the weekend, is the Chanel Farmer-sponsored Irish Champion Hurdle, due off at 3:10 on Sunday. State Man is 11-10 now. Is even money for most of the week. 11-10 as we record on Friday afternoon. Little nibbles for Honeysuckle, 13-8. It's 7-2 Vauban. And then big prices. Pied Piper, Zanahir, Takarengo. No chance according to the market.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Straight back to you, Frank. We put it to Ruby yesterday. I said as soon as I said, could you believe that State Man would be favoured to be Honeysuckle in this race when we started the season? He said, absolutely not, but I think he'll win. So Ruby's keen on State Man, as he has been throughout his career. What's your angle?
Yeah, maybe my heart's ruining my head a small bit, but I'll stick with Honeysuckle. Yeah, something about State Man. He's obviously got a huge engine, but yeah, like his jumping out the last day was a bit better, but there were hurdles omitted, which is a help. I just think he's not really electric, like a real champion hurdler, to my mind anyway. I'm not an expert on that, but that's what he looks like to me. And I just think, I know people were disappointed with Honeysuckle were writing off after the Hatton's Grace, but look, in hindsight, the race worked out very well. T. Hoopoo has obviously gone bolted up in the Galmoy, the favourite now for the Stairs Hurdle. Echoes and Rains bolted up at Nace in a graded race, and Ashdale Bob was second in the grade one over 3 miles here over Christmas. The form's worked out. Going to maybe between the last two, you'd think she was going to win the race. She's just got out of stage, back in a bit of better ground at Leopardstown, going for a fourth win in a row in the race. I don't know. I think she'll run really well, and I think State Man will probably surprise me a little bit if he can beat her. Beat her comprehensively anyway. I think, you know, then he's a real top class horse, but I'm going to stick with her. Yeah. Even going back to the last race of Christmas, like I know everyone thought, like a lot of people's opinion was State Man was a convincing winner. But when you watch it, I think Danny Mullins rode Vauban and the last hurdle was a miss and he was going up the inside and he had to just take a pull on Vauban and he just lost about a length and a half, two lengths doing that. You just see, it was just the time of State Man was quickening. I'm not saying he'd have beaten him or anything, but I think the winning distance probably didn't do Vauban justice, maybe, and you expect him to step forward. Now, whether he'd reverse, I wouldn't think so. But yeah, I just think there's enough there to give Honeysuckle one last go.
I think they'll go joint favourites. I think the cash will come for her as well. Rory?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think she might start favourite. And I agree with Frank. I think she wins this. You can't be absolutely confident because obviously there are noises that, you know, they thought she maybe was showing signs that she had enough of the game. But you can, revisiting that that Hatton's Grace. It's easy to make excuses for her, and she's not been impressive in that before either. I mean, she should have been beaten by Ronald Pump a couple of seasons ago, and clearly that's not nearly good enough form to be winning champion hurdles off. But she's progressed from that, so I wouldn't be judging her on that. And again, you know, she raced towards the inside, and the pair who beat her came wide, and that was definitely a big advantage on the day. The form has been frank since, as we said. But I think she's also going to be pretty ready for this, because this is a big test for her. This is the race that will tell them whether it's worth persevering for the champion hurdle. So I don't think they'd have left an awful lot to work on with her, and she should be spot on for it. So I think she has better historic form than State Man. I'm not sure that, as Frank says, I'm not sure that a beating of Vauban is represents anything like champion hurdle form in a normal year. And while State Man could improve enough again to win this, I think, and indeed, you know, Honeysuckle may show that she's just deteriorated since last year. I think she can be a fair bit below the form she showed the last couple of seasons to win this. And I expect her to be not back to her best, I don't think, but back to something like we saw last season, which might well be good enough, or should be good enough, to win this race. And that's, if it does happen, kind of books her seat in another champion hurdle, which makes that race a little bit more interesting than it has been.
We want her there. We want her there.
We do, yeah.
We all know she'll be beaten by Constitution Hill, but we want her there anyway. So two votes for Honeysuckle. Lovely stuff. Yeah, I think they'll go off joint favourites. And Vauban might surprise everyone. Right, we will move on to the 340, another grade one, the Tattersalls Ireland Novice Hurdle, registered as the Brave Inca Novice Hurdle before Rory gets in there. And we have the opportunity to see the Supreme Ballymore 2026 champion hurdle favourite, Fasal Vega, assuming Constitution Hill isn't still around then. 1-2, Fasal Vega. The revised price is 7-1 high definition, as we know, very classy flat horse. Ilite Tomp is 10-1 in the pocket, also that price. And Irish Point, it's 12-1 Dark Raven, and No Looking Back is 28-1. Back to you, Rory. Fasal Vega, not your kind of price at all at 1-2. But what's the angle?
Well, unfortunately, with seven runners, this is a race you want to have an each way bet on, but with seven runners, you're probably better off betting without Fasal Vega, who should win. But I think he is. It's one of those. I think he's slightly overrated in what he's done. I think when he won in his hurdles debut, and people said, "Oh, we're looking forward to Fasal Vega against Constitution Hill in next year's champion hurdle, and they could be the great. You know, this could be the great matchup of all time." It's like, steady on. He's run once. And he didn't beat an awful lot, and he was 1-9, and the time was dreadful.
Are you so asking Twitter to steady on, Rory? Because I don't think that's going to work.
No, but that's why you should never say it. But I suspect that he is a little bit overrated on what he's done so far, but he's still good enough to be winning this race anyway. And just laying horses. Because you think what price is he for this at the moment?
1-2, as we speak.
1-2. So you think you lay him at 1-2, and you think, well, on the basis that he should be 4-7, you know, those bets tend to not win for you. And there's a better way. There can be a better way of doing it.
Over 15 years, you'll make
if you find enough of them. Yeah. So I think he's probably slightly too short. I still think he's by far the likeliest winner. He should be odds on. He probably ends up being a tick or two shorter than he should be. But who will win the race without him? I think the value will end up being... I thought the value would end up being with Ilite Tomp, but with the prices you read out there, mm-hmm. I'm thinking there might be Irish Point. Who's the value? Certainly at these odds. I made the argument when seeing him... at Nace, I thought the Lauders of Nace was a very good race. I'm not entirely sure about the argument about if there were more hurdles to jump, he would have won. That doesn't really wash with me. But I thought he wanted dropping by the 2 miles after that. I know there's stamina in his pedigree, but he was a bumper winner, a grade one bumper. These are essentially flat races for non-thoroughbreds rather than bumpers as we know them. So he wasn't actually qualified to run an Irish bumpers, Irish Point, because Mikel Barcelona rode him when he won a a Group 1 bumper at Saint Cloud. That was over a mile and a half. He was placed over a mile and three prior to that. So he doesn't lack speed. And I thought he got outstayed in the end. In the Royal Bond and in the Lauders of Nace, and he would be better on goodish grounds at 2 miles. And I thought he was kind of interesting for the Supreme as an outsider on that basis. And he's certainly interesting here without the favourite, because his form reads very well. He's been beaten twice, but he's been beaten in the two best novice hurdles run this season, without a doubt. And he's underrated as a result. And I do think he will benefit from more of a test of speed. Not that he doesn't look like he's got a great turn of foot, but I think he's the type of horse who will be able to sustain speed over 2 miles, and which makes him a kind of an interesting outsider for the Supreme. Whereas, you know, I thought he was worth trying at 2.5 miles at Nace, and it looked like he was going to claw into the lead for a long way. But in the last 100 yards, he was losing ground again, and for me, that suggested that he wasn't quite a stayer. And it looked like he'd won the Royal Bond for a long way, and was he outstayed, or was he beaten by a horse with a turn of foot? They weren't finishing very fast, it has to be said, as a rule. He did everything right and just got mugged on the line. I think he's the value without the favourite at the prices that have been read out. The argument regarding Ilie Tetonpa is the same, because he's been beaten by Facile Vega. He's a horse that people won't want to be backing again. They'll immediately rule him out. We know he's not as good as Facile Vega. Maybe something else is. Maybe High Definition is. And I think High Definition is kind of what she gets overbet here, because he could be anything. The form of his hurdles debut win over Chitara is not particularly good. But we know that he had an awful lot of class on the flat, even though he became a bit disappointing and he was sort of paceless and tripless on the flat. But, you know, that was at Group 1 and Group 2 level. So, you know, he could easily make the grade, but I think people will look much more at High Definition's potential upside than look at the potential downside with him, and he will probably be overbet as a result.
Okay. Interesting angle into Irish Point. Is that going to be one of the great quiz questions? When did Mikhail Barcelona ride
an Irish Point? Hey.
Right. Frank, your angle into the big grade one novice hurdle.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree, Rory. Like, you're probably looking at the without market, but it will tell us a little bit in that, you know, how Irish Point, if he runs his race, gets on against Facile Vega, give you a line into Marine National. Do you know what I mean? So, like, if Irish Point can run Facile Vega close, it'll bring, you know, it'll be a positive towards Marine National's chance in Supreme. Look, as Rory said, you wouldn't be mad keen to take on Facile Vega here. And look, even for the Supreme, I think he's a bit short, but we know Willie just gets him to peak from heart. And, you know, while you'd be trying to take him on, it might be difficult to actually get him beaten. He would be one I want to back or anything like that. Now, I'd agree with Rory in that I think Irish Point is the most likely to be second, but I'm going to chance one, the rag of the fields, to finish second. No looking back for Oliver McKiernan. Won his bumper on debut at Thurles last March, wasn't disgraced, went fourth in the valuable sales bumper at Fairy House at Easter. He was an easy winner on his hurdles debut at Thurles in December. Was very easy to back. I think I put him in, I remember pricing the rates, I put him in five, and I think he's got out to like 14 to one or something. I think he's got backed in a small bit, but he's ended up winning, beating a 121 rated in a Tondu, conceding that the £7 to her. I thought he did it relatively easily. He ran the match against Brazil in a four-year-old grade two hurdle at Limerick on heavy ground. He was getting £3. Look, it was a messy race. It wasn't overly strongly run or anything. And he quickened. Brazil had to make his own running, which probably didn't suit him either. But no looking back, picked him up and won going away. He needs to brush up his jumping. But in saying that, if he does improve his jumping, it'll lead to further improvement. And I just think he's got plenty of ability. And whether he'll be put in the race, you know, when it's really hotting up, he might just be able to run on into second, is what I'm thinking. And I see what are we, 28 to 1? There's as big as 50 to 1 out there on him. So you're kind of figuring out what price he'd be in the without. He could be 16 or something to 1 potentially. And I just take a chance at him. But I do admit Irish Point probably is the more sensible bet in the without market. I completely agree with Rory says about him and High Definition being too short and even in the pocket as well. Yeah, like Irish Point is most likely second, but I just take a chance and no looking back, because he does have plenty of ability and he just seems to be underestimated a little bit here.
Having a swing on Saturday's pod, Rory tipped up Gatsby Gray at a mammoth price as well. So that one also for Oliver McKiernan. So it could be a huge weekend for Oliver McKiernan if these two go in, or at least that one finishes second to Paso Vega. Right, the Liffey handicap hurdle, the big... This used to have its own meeting, this particular race, obviously with the day at the Dublin Racing Festival, known as the Pierce, the AIG, the... Was there a Schweppes?
The Ladbrook.
The Ladbrook. It wasn't a Schweppes, was it? Or was that the one?
It was the Irish Sweeps hurdle, I suppose, was the old version.
Gimmerong Schwerz. Yeah. Arthur Moore used to farm it, didn't he? He had plenty of big winners. Now it's a very competitive handicap hurdle on a brilliant card, and... Or is it? Because here he is again, folks. The horse that was sent off 13-8 favourite at Cheltenham on his handicap debut for William Mullins last year, Gaelic Warrior, but was short-headed. Thank you very much, said Frank Hickey by Brazil. He's back, Gaelic Warrior. He's 2-1 as we record on Friday. He can't get shorter than that, Frank, can he?
Well, if Willie starts going through the cards, there's every chance he could. He wouldn't be like, look, he's obviously got loads of ability. But he hasn't really had, you know, he's had his own way in two hurdles runs. Like Tremor was first Galent, then Clonmel, nothing took him on either, really. 143 probably is a mark he's capable of winning off. But at the same time, he's not going to be able to make it here. He does, you know, just kind of lean out to his right, jumping his hurdles. Like, if he can win off this, he's a genuine, Supreme or Ballymore contender. But for me, at the price, I couldn't go near him at the price, and I'm going to chance one at a very big price here. Efrenok Fizz. He just improved an awful lot for joining King Collins' stable this summer. Won a valuable handicap hurdle at Clarny off 117 in August. Did it in fine style. Did disappoint at Listowel, but ran a cracker when second to Jesse Evans in the Grade 3 Horse and Jockey Hotel hurdle at Tipperary at the beginning of October. Jason Milton, Abercadabra were behind. He won the Welsh Champion Hurdle off UK mark of 133, beating Milkwood, Severance, Glory and Fortune, Hardy Desoy. Then kind of gave up his Irish chase mark to go to Cheltenham.
I remember you talking about it, saying, why is he running here?
Yeah, gave me mark in Ireland. And he ran an absolute cracker. It was just run out of it by Dad's Lad that day, off a mark of 133 as well. Back in third was Editor De Geet, Grade 1 winning Editor De Geet. He's had a break since, had a spin on the flat at Dundalk last month to leave her spot on for this. It's not easy to make all in a race like this, but at the same time, it's not quite as big a field. I know 17 of the 18 stood their ground, but it's still not as big a field as you would normally get in this. Normally it's mid-20s, isn't it, runners?
Yeah.
And I didn't see a huge amount of pace in here. Like, Hey Johnny can be ridden prominently. What's available might also... And Tax for Max can be a bit keen. So, you know, he could be up there. But I thought there was a chance she might get her own way in front. And Michael Sullivan takes off £5 as well, which I think could be key. And with the ground drying out a bit, yeah, I think she's between 25 and 33 to 1. That's a fair each way bet. Which, again, I imagine there'll be five places available.
Fingers crossed there are. Efrenok Fizz for Keane Collins, as you mentioned. And... Michael O'Sullivan, Rory.
I think it's a fair case made for Efrenok Fizz, given that there doesn't seem to be a huge amount of pace there. But the only disagreement I would have there is when Frank says the favorite needs to get things his own way and he won't get it here. Well, if Efrenok Fizz is going to get her own way out in front, then I think Gaelic Warrior will be perfectly happy with the setup there. It's not going to be a burn up. I think he just wins, really. I don't think it's the strongest running of this by any manner of means. I think he was a bit unlucky to lose at Cheltenham. It was a slightly strange race. Mark Walsh, I thought, stole it on Brazil last year. It was a very, very good ride. Gaelic Warrior just failed to get back up again. He's dotted up twice this season. I mean, you could argue that there was no need for him to go to Clonmel, given that I'm not sure his handicap mark had gone up for the Tremor run. I mean, he won by 86 lengths, but he beat to call them trees would be insulting to trees. So you know, they didn't need to pick up the extra weight that he's got. But I think when you got a horse like that, you want to find out whether he's good enough to run on a Grade One, and therefore you need to have a test like this. He could have gone to Newbury for the Betfair Hurdle. He'd have been favourite for that of a higher mark, 149. He'd have had there. I'd be disappointed if he's not good enough to win this. He should get the race run to suit. I think he'd be happy enough letting Nefernock Fizz make the running and just sitting in her tail. And he should have a little bit too much class for her. And you look through this, there aren't that many that are jumping off the page as being hiding their lights under a bushel or well handicapped or, you know, classy enough to be considered for Grade One races. And I think, 2-1 is skinny, but he does look to have absolutely outstanding claims to me.
Yeah, it could be first and second favourite of the Supreme Novice Hurdle run on Sunday and win both their races with Facile Mode running earlier on the card at Facile Vega. Facile Mode's running a bumper the day before. Right, speaking of bumpers, the 440 is the mare's bumper on the card. This is a Grade Two. Now, this is the type of bumper that the traders in Paddy Power must... So basically, just to give context, what happens with declarations? Declarations come through. We all have the same website. Every trader uses the same one. The horses come through and then the trainer updates with the jockey bookings. So you're just refreshing, aren't you, Frank, essentially? Now you and your colleagues had Fancy Girl and the Hurricane Fly Colors, the 6-4 favorite for this race. Uh-oh, Patrick is booked for a different one, a horse called Fun, Fun, Fun. And I see 15-2, 11-2, 2-1, 13-8. The prizes on Fun, Fun, Fun. And Fancy Girl, 6-4, 2-1, 8-7-2. What a nightmare for the traders. Got all wrong.
That is. Now, I wasn't involved this morning because it's coming on here. But like, that's the thing. Like, you know, you're guessing, which one's going to be first string. And then... you know, we might have been laying a bit of money on Fancy Girl, thinking, oh, that's the one. And then Patrick decides, no, it's not. And so just
look. It's
interesting, though. We've had five renewals of this, like, since the DRF was brought in. And we've only had one winner shorter than 16-1 in those 5 years. Willie's won it twice, but with 16-1 and 18-1 shots. I think Relegate and what was the other one that won for him? Grangy. And I'm going to take a chance on big ones here. I'm either going to, you know, hit an unbelievable each way, you know, Yankee or something on Sunday, or do my brains. But Rockstown Girl for Anthony McCann, I just thought she's a bit interesting. Bolted up in Roscommon in July. Look, it wasn't a very good race, but she's about second last, turning out of the back, and decides like it wasn't like she cruised up. She took a bit of persuading, but she found plenty. And was running away from them to win, I think, 6 or 7 lengths in the end. Ran in a listed mayor's bumper at Gorn in September, attracted support, a big price. I think I might have been involved in pricing that and completely dismissed her, thinking, you know, Anthony McCann, the listed bumper, and Willie had a few. Dorn's Weir and stuff was in there. But look, she ran a huge race in third, considering it was only her second start. The winner... and the second had 3 previous runs, and the fourth had 4 previous runs. They had a huge experience advantage over her that day. The second, Jatara, won a listed bumper at Navan, beating Lily de Burleigh, finished second to High Definition in that Leopardstown Maiden Hurdle, and finished second to Ashwell Diamond in a Grade 3 Mayor's Novice Hurdle at Fairy House last weekend. And Doran's Weir, who was behind as well, had some fairly strong bumper form against mares also. So, you know, I think it was a very fair run. Look, she was fourth last time against the geldings. She was beaten 18 lengths by Facile Mode at Leopardstown, but she did have the penalty for winning her Roscommon race, and she actually traveled quite well to a point and just weakened out of it. Look, the hood that she wore in her first two starts was let off there, and she just was a bit keen, a little, you know, through the race, and didn't finish off a race. I haven't double checked, but I assume I thought the hood might go back on. I'm not sure it is.
I don't see it.
I don't see it. Interesting. I thought it would go back on. But, that Facile Mode is obviously favourite for the Grade Saturday 2 bumper on Saturday. Yeah. And, you know, Lecky Watson had really strong form. Special Cadeau had won a bumper very easily in Huntingdon. So, back against the mares, and the fact that this race can throw up one, I thought she might be a little bit dismissed considering connections, and I don't think the better ground would be any harm for her either. I think it was soft at Christmas, and it's probably going to be more like yielding to soft, which I think will suit her. And she's a fairly big price as well. So
she is.
I'll feel Bob each way in her.
At the time of recording, she's 20-1. Rory, any thoughts on the Mare's Bumper?
I have very few thoughts on the Mare's Bumper. I certainly wouldn't disagree with anything that that Frank has said there. Just to add on that, it's a strong possibility that that bumper at Leopardstown won by Facile Mode is just a very, very strong piece of form, because behind Rockstone Girl were two previous bumper winners of Gordon Elliott's, King of Kingsfield and Caldwell Potter, who went off 2-1 and 7-2 in that race. Maybe they didn't run their races at all, but maybe that's just a very strong piece of form. Even Chuckster's Glory, who was back in seventh there, had shown a lot of promise earlier than that. Cato Capone was a bumper winner as well. So there's a lot of depth to the race that Rockstone Girl was fourth in. And although she's beaten a long way, bumper ratings are fairly crude things, and you tend to be rated on how far you've been beaten. And most bumpers are sort of given a similar sort of overall rating, and then you have to sort of fiddle around with the better ones. But it may well be that that she's run a much better race than it looks there. She's entitled to come on for it as well. So yeah, I'd say that's pretty good advice from Frank. I've got no real opinion on it at all. Lady de Burley won the race last year, and it's unusual for horses to try to follow up in graded bumpers, but it's an interesting bit of placing by the Crawford brothers there. And the fact that you do have this jiggery pokery with the Willie Mullins runners makes it a pretty unattractive race to punt in. So maybe Rockstone Girl is the way forward at a big price.
Yeah, just even if you use Jatara as a line. Look, I know it's very simplistic to think like that, but like Jatara had beaten Lady de Burley at Navan, and you know, Rockstone Girl was only a little over a length behind her at Gorn, and Rockstone Girl's 20s and Lady de Burley is 4. You know, just gives you a chance. And even I know you can't rely on them hugely, but like the time figure at Gorn when she was third was pretty decent as well, relative to maybe some of the others in here. So I think she's a very big price. I wouldn't be dismissing her now at all. I think she'll shorten from 20-1 a bit too.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for her. Rockstone Girls mentioned each way, nice price in the Mare's Bumper, a race with a history of big prices. That's Leopardstown done. Dublin Racing Festival done and dusted. Now, Rory, you did dangle the carrot that you might have unearthed something, and then you said, no, I haven't really, but Musselburgh is on ITV, the Scottish
you
Supreme.
You just said there were a lot of races, and I said, yes, there are, not just Leopardstown, but Musselburgh as well.
The Bowes Lion Trophy as well is going to be won in honour of the Queen Mother. Queen Mother?
It's the Bowes Lion family is the Queen Mother's family. Yes.
That's the Scottish Champion Chase. Look, there's racing ongoing there tonight. Nothing caught your eye though. You probably didn't have a chance to catch it, did you?
No. I'll run through the televised races at Musselburgh very quickly. Get your mind view. Now, I would imagine no price is available yet, but Affadil is liable to be a warm favourite for the Scottish Triumph Hurdle. He won the worst race on God's earth at Taunton in his debut. I thought he'd be 1-10 first time Affadil, because he was a maiden winner in the flat in France, and he was bought to join Paul Nicholls for €255,000, and he was up against just a dreadful bunch of horses at Taunton, and he ended up winning by 2 lengths. In a really bad time. He almost refused at the first hurdle, and then he was fine from then on. But fine is the operative word. The horse he beat, Mammy's Boy, was beaten 21 lengths on his next start. It's just not, I mean, Affadil is going to improve for that, but people are going to try to tell you that was a good performance at Taunton, and it wasn't. It was job done in the end. And it was a day when Nicholls and Harry Cobden, I think, had 4 winners on the card. But he's going to be, I'm sure he's going to be favourite here, and there might be value opposing him. The obvious one in the race is John McConnell's Bring Back Memories, Ryan Mannier rides. He is already a course and distance winner in a good time. And he's owned by Jimmy Fife, who's a director at Dundee United, loves his winners at Musselburgh. Bring Back Memories, no doubt, been aimed at this race. So he's got the best form in the race already. But as I said, because Affadil, you know, has come with a reputation and has been talked of as a Triumph Hurdle horse, I think he'll probably be favourite. And I think on form, you've got to be backing Bring Back Memories instead.
Jim Goldie horses as well.
Jim Goldie trains plenty for Jimmy Fife, but he doesn't mind spreading them around a little bit. Most of his horses would be trained in or near Scotland. John McConnell's happy enough to come across with his, so there's no harm in doing that. Harry Derham's got a runner in that race as well who won on his debut. I thought this probably came a little bit too quick for him, but Harry Derham is definitely a trainer to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. He's got a mixture of horses in the yards. Some of them are quite interesting on paper, and some of them are low grade horses that he trains for syndicates. And the horses that he's run so far that haven't been rank outsiders have done really well. He's got a good strike rate, but when you strip out the 200-1 shots he's had, it looks even better. So I thought Harry Derham would win the Scottish Champion Chase with Fidelio Vallis, who's an ex Nichols horse. He used to run in the John Hales colours. He needs good grounds, which you're more likely to get a Musselburgh than anywhere else at this time of the year. He was disappointing on his final start, but that was over a year ago, and I imagine he had an issue at Ludlow, which should have suited him very well. Prior to that, he didn't handle Cheltenham at all. He almost ran off the track in a novice chase won by Third Time Lucky, which made Third Time Lucky Arkle favourite, if you remember that. And before that, he'd run very well to be second in a listed chase on quick ground at Chepstow. The handicap has been very, very kind to him, given that he was a winner in handicaps off marks of 137 and 143 as a novice before being second in listed company. He's only 139 here, and he's a young enough horse for that layoff not to have made a massive difference. He'd be ready for this as well. I think Fidelio Vallis can win the Scottish Champion Chase. And then it gets a little bit ropey from there. I'm not interested in the Supreme.
There is an interesting one. I'm just going to flag it up. An ex-Jim Bolger horse called Dan Silla. Fergal O'Brien could have found any number of crappy novice hurdles to make his debut, but he's popping it into that, which is eye-catching.
It is eye-catching, although it's interesting also that the owners also have Hurricane Harvey in the next race. So it may well be a case of...
Okay,
it may well good be spot. A case of filling up the horse box. Okay. And that's not on TV, the pretense. But surely the most interesting race of the weekend, a pretense qualifier in February. Come on.
Well, I mean,
lots of fun and games.
Changing to four qualifiers has been a great move, though.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, do you see who's got a few runners in that pretense qualifier? A certain G.G.
Elliott.
Under the radar on a Sunday at Munster, but the boss's Oscar, we all remember him, tops the weights. And Jordan Gainford is sent over on Sunday of DRF to ride in that pretense qualifier, the 255 border horse called J.C., and who I have no doubt will stay on
to
be a well-beaten fourth.
He'll probably just fly up from Sandown, will he? With his grade one in the bag.
Well, yeah.
He may do.
Yeah. Jerry Kalam hopefully would have done the business at this stage. Look, that'll do, I think. That's fair. Well done. You touched on the few races at Musselburgh. Let's get the best bets on Sunday, folks. You can go to Musselburgh if you like. Yesterday.
looking forward to mentioning what we haven't mentioned before.
Yeah, yesterday Rory did just go, we haven't talked about a race. My nap comes in. You've gone for a few big prices this afternoon or on Sunday afternoon, Frank. So I'm intrigued. What is the best bet?
I'm going to go with Roxtown Girl on the bumper.
I think you talked yourself into that. Yeah, right? The more you were talking about it, you're like, geez, this is a good price.
Just when you look at it, like all the horses that were behind her had won bumpers before, even the one that finished last year with Valentine. So like, I think it's just a good bumper. And this is drawing ground suit. So 20-1 nap.
Lovely. Yeah, that'll do. That'll get the old P&L up. Roxtown Girl in the 440 at Leopardstown. That's the last race on Sunday. Rory?
Lots of absolutely top class horses to look at on Sunday.
Yep.
But I might take a chance on Historic Reconce in the opener at 14-1. Listen, she's not the best horse that Willie's running on the card, but she'd be a nightmare to handicap based on essentially one run at Tremor, which she won with her head in her chest. No idea whether that flatters her a little bit or whether she's miles better than it. But at 14-1, I'm happy to take a chance.
And you were win only as well, weren't you? Because
she's finishing first or last, isn't she? Really?
There's no difference.
Q running on third. But yeah.
Or into whatever the extra place may be. Brilliant stuff. Historic Reconce in the 110 at Leopardstown, making just her second start for Willie Mullins. Very interesting. Had they been keeping that handicap mark since she won that Tramore Maiden Hurdle One Wonders? Or has she just had an injury? I don't know. Right, lads, that was brilliant. As I said, keep an eye out for the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel next week. About 12 o'clock, we'll release our latest episode, Frank, of the Cheltenham Countdown. Frank, how's the...
And then Frank will tear it all apart the following day.
I think you were soft on us. You were softer on us in the last episode of Cheltenham Countdown Extra.
There wasn't... I was just surprised, as I said, Ruby couldn't remember the Western Warhouse had only had one start before chinning Champagne Fever in the Arkle.
We're well aware that if ever we forget a horse, you will bring it up pretty much straight away. Yeah. So if you want to listen to us get dissected.
Nothing about Western Warhorse makes any sense. So it's not surprising that he's drifted out of people's memories.
Yeah, I remember I wasn't long maybe working at Paddy Power, and I wasn't in racing at the time. I was still in the betting and running room. And I just remember, like, you know, Champagne Fever was an integral part of like multis for that day, and I remember the banging of the desks and the shouting got up.
Can we piece that together yet? Has that form begun to make any sort of sense yet? Western Warhorse beating Champagne Fever?
No, and of course Western Warhorse got injured shortly after that, so we never got a chance to see whether it was just a real flash in the pan. He's probably the only Arkle winner in recent memory who was also qualified for the Pretemps at the same meeting, and I think most people thought he was going for the Pretemps for most of the year, and he might have been one of the Andy Poole's favourites for the Pretemps at one stage, but he went and won the Arkle, and it made no sense then, and it makes less sense now.
Really does. Rory, I know you're coming over for the 2 days. Frank, you're going to the wedding on the Saturday, which I assume means you're taking it easy on the Sunday.
I have a preview at Leopardstown early tomorrow morning, so I have to go over there really early, come back. I'll be back home for about 10 or half past, mind the little fella for a bit, go to the wedding. And then I should be delicate enough because I can't drink. Well, it's not that I can't drink. I can't cope with drink the day after. I get really bad hangovers and I'm exhausted. So I don't think I'll do much bar watch the racing on Sunday. And of course, the bank holiday on Monday. So
in Ireland.
I have Monday off as well. So
in Ireland. Thank you very much, St. Bridget. It's about time she was recognised.
That was an advantage of having a wife, a teacher. I wouldn't even have known it was a bank holiday until she said it about a month ago. I went in and checked the road and nobody else knew it was a bank holiday either.
I don't think anyone has figured out that this is a
bank holiday. You shouldn't be able to take it off unless you can make a St. Bridget's cross out of bushes.
I heard that there was an atheist group were trying to get that out of the schools. They said we shouldn't be making St. Bridget's crosses. I was like, for God's sake, lads. I mean, come on.
I have to say, I haven't seen one in years, so it'd be nice to see one over the weekend.
Again, we might have lost our UK listeners here, but pop it into Google. You have to make a St. Bridget's cross every year up until the age of about 11.
Always a school project, yeah.
It was a cracker, yeah. And it generally ended up with being my mother making it, to be fair. But the current girlfriend I have, on our first date, we were trying to organise it on the old app, and she gave me we had a date in mind, and then she said, oh, actually, I'm going to have to move that. I was like, oh, yeah, no worries. Yeah, I usually catch up with the two ladies on St. Bridget's Day. And I was like, well, that's the end of that, because that's the worst excuse I've ever heard in my life. Anyway, 5 years later.
My current girlfriend that I have now. Still on probation.
My current girlfriend is one step up from my future ex-girlfriend. That's one or two people I know. Use that as a joke.
She might be, if I keep referring to her as the current girlfriend. Yeah. Right. Look, have a great weekend. Enjoy St. Bridges weekend, everyone. I hope you have a few winners on the DRF. We'll be back next week with loads of more content, including watch out on Tuesday noon on the YouTube channel. It'll be a little bit earlier as a podcast, though, if you really want it. And then, of course, Frank and Tom will follow afterwards. The best double act since?
I would say Stan Connemore and Robbie Fowler.
Oh, my word.
Flanders and Swan.
But anyway, all right, okay, onwards. Have a great weekend, folks.